waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Boy, isn't that a great song. From 1968, and folks, this is Steve and Jay. I just happened to get stuck, and I called the radio station. I said, well, if they want somebody to help in answering phones or anything, and so Felicia is going to be trying to come up, but right now she's stuck on the wrong side of the bridge. Once again, there is an accident at Prince Fuller Airport. Don't know whether it's a fatality or not, but it is a major accident, and so the road is going to be closed in both directions for they don't know how long. So it doesn't sound good, but we do have a caller who's supposed to be on Felicia's show named Ann Punahou, and she's going to be talking about the Women's March. And you're on the air. Say aloha to everybody.
Hi, aloha no. How's everybody today?
They're doing great. And so tell us about the Women's March, what's happening in D.C., and when that is, and what's the expectation, why they're doing it, and then what's happening here locally on Kauai.
Okay, that's great. So my name is Ann Punahou, and yes, I'm very excited about the Women's March in Washington. There is a lot of websites that you can go to find out exactly what it's about, but basically this is a human rights event. So the people are marching for all kinds of different kinds of rights, like environmental justice, immigrant rights, disability rights, civil rights, workers' rights, LGBTQIA. I got those all in.
Are they marching at all for gun rights?
No, not
those rights. I'm just curious.
I haven't seen that mentioned
on
the site.
There's a lot of rights out there, but I'm trying
reproductive rights, ending violence, women's rights. You know, basically it's about rights and dignity. It's about equal rights and human dignity.
Okay.
And so that's kind of why, you know, I'm marching. But I didn't know there was more than one event. There was another event on Kauai, so I went ahead and, you know, dotted my I's and got my T's crossed and got kind of permission to have a little march up from Hardy and Rice Street up to the county lawn. Just to give you guys an overview of what's really happening out there in the big world, there are now over 616 sister marches all over the United States and Europe, Australia, and other countries, and 32 countries. And there's going to be a lot of people marching at the same time all over the world. And I think it's just a great thing to be a part of. I'm marching for my two girls and myself, and I just feel that I wanted to move and do something, you know.
Now, real quick question. And folks, sure. If you just tuned in, once again, my name's Stephen Jay. I used to do a show called My Generation, but I'm filling in for Felicia because I got stuck on the wrong side. There's a major accident. Traffic will be tied up for we don't know how long in both directions near the Princeville Airport. So if you're just tuning in, we have Ann Punahou, who's talking about the Women's March. And when is the Women's March going to take place in D.C., Anne?
In Washington, D.C., it will be beginning at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C. So
what day?
That'll be on Saturday, January 21st, the day after the inauguration.
Day after. What about Ahukini, did you say, the road?
Yeah, that is not my event, but we're all together under the same umbrella of the same group. So,
do you know when?
The Ahukini one, I believe, starts at 11 o'clock in the morning and goes to 1 p.m.
on Saturday, Hawaii time.
Yes, and then the march is before that, so people can shoot to both of them easily because they don't overlap each other at all.
Okay.
The march, we're going to gather at 8 a.m. on the front lawn. We're going to do an invocation, and that invocation at 8 a.m. will coordinate with other invocations around the island. With the 11 o'clock in Washington, we're all going to be having a moment of silence, about a minute of silence at that time, and then an invocation. And for this part of it, we're just going to all walk down to Hardy Street and Rice, we're going to march back up.
And it looks like we have a caller here. It's Janice Bond. I believe that's who's calling in.
Yes, she has the other event.
Okay, so she's calling in. So hold on here. So Janice, can you hear me? Okay, what do I need to do?
Hello.
Oh, there you are, Janice. Good, you're there. Okay, so evidently you're in cahoots with these marches, and just to let you guys know, Janice was I wouldn't have graduated from Kapaa High School if it weren't for Janice Bond. Back then, she went under a different name, but she passed me in English, and I finally graduated in 72. So anyway, Janice, tell us about the Women's March.
Well, I'm talking to you from actually the state capitol. I'm here for AARP about the 2017 legislative priority bills and resolution. And I was to call in and tell them about the issues here that deal with Kupuna. And there are five issues. The retirement saving for Hawaii's workforce. This is a resolution that convenes a work group to investigate and identify strategies to promote great retirement savings for private sector's workers in Hawaii. And it's not an appropriation request. The Kupuna Care helps older adults continue living at home on a small fraction of the cost of nursing home care. There's a total budget of $9 million. The Aging and Disability Resource Centers, or ADRC, is one of the top, the one-stop shop for long-term care information and resources, a total budget of $3.11 million. And the Healthy Aging Partnerships, HAP or HAP, evidence-based health promotion and disease prevention programs for older adults and people with chronic disease. And I'm really here to promote that because there's Enhanced Fitness, which is an exercise program that meets three times a week at various centers around Kauai, and Better Choices, Better Health, a six-week self-management workshop. And I took the first one in Koloa, and now the second one has to do with diabetes. And Johnny Yago at the Elderly Affairs Office is the one to contact. And then we have the Kupuna Caregiver. This program helps working caregivers pay for care services for our Kupuna. Now, a lot of the working caregivers need help with, as they're also caring for Kupunas. And it will help pay $70 a day for services if this is included. Budgeted 2017 for $600,000 for planning, and year 2018, $6 million. So there are other important bills that deal with Alzheimer's and long-term care and positions for UH Center on Aging, Fall Prevention and Early Detection Coordinator, and Low-Income Household Renters Credit. There's quite a lot going on here today.
There is, and Janice, my interject right.
That's people.
Yeah, just
here to
okay.
Lobby.
Let me just go and interject here, and I do apologize. Anne, I thought she was calling in about the Women's March, and I'm here.
No, that's okay. I'm glad she's there because then she can talk about Ahokini one too. That's really great. I'm really glad.
Okay.
So we get it all in one place.
Okay, Janice, you may have just tuned in.
Hold on,
just a moment.
Steve, you were not aware. Of Felicia's schedule, but she asked me to call in at 4:05, and then she messaged me that she was stuck in traffic, and then she messaged me after I taped the report to her that you were taking it on and for me to call in. I was to call in at 4:05, and Sherry Campania, the state coordinator for the Women's March on each island, will be calling you in shortly.
Good.
I'm
sorry.
4:25 call in to you.
Okay. Well, it's 4:28. So we'll look forward to that. With both of you young ladies being on the line, the phone probably, if they're going to call in, I don't know if it'll pop in here or not. There's a line 3 and 4. We'll see.
Well, I can tell you that I have had many emails and text messages and Facebook. We have about 180-some plus people who are already coming, that we have shuttles going from Vadina Stadium between 10:30 and 10:45 to get people to the Aukini and Kapuli Highway intersection.
Okay, and that's going to be marching from where to where?
Ahukini
and 51?
It's like the political rally.
Oh, okay.
Sign-waving.
Sign-waving, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's tackle one thing at a time here, Janice.
In their 90s too, so.
Oh, good. It's never too late. And what at those ages, what have they got to lose? That's what I always say. But why don't you tell us, Anne? Why don't you jump back in here again, And tell us what you know about Washington, D.C.
I guess it's causing some confusion. You know, I didn't really mean to cause any problems, but I guess I kind of did. So.
No, you didn't cause any problems.
I mean, with the market in general. But just I just thought it was a good opportunity that we were able to get the lawn, and I just thought that it would be a nice place for everybody to hang out and have a central place to go. But the march is early in the morning, so we're going to march at 9. We should be done by 10:30. The rest of the afternoon, so 2 is to hang out on the lawn, have a little picnic, talk story, you know, get something to eat. And if people want to stand on Rice Street and wave signs, they're more than welcome to. But our main focus was just to have a march. It's only a few blocks. It's called Up the Hill, mm-hmm. and it's from Hardy Street and Rice Street up to the county lawn. So it's early in the morning. So I'm just very careful to make sure that we didn't bump into each other's events and step on toes or anything like that. I didn't mean to. It's just that's how we ended up, I think, simultaneously doing these events.
And if I may, I just want to let people know, I'm sure they're already well aware that this will be the last day of President Obama's presidency. Now, you get things on the internet, and I saw. No, I won't say that. But anyway, but it's his last day on January 20th, Friday. And, of course, that will be at 12 p.m. Swearing in at Washington, D.C. time is 7 a.m. here. So that's when Donald J. Trump will then take the reins of the country. And if I may, would you two mind if I made an announcement just on the other side of the fence? Janice or Ann?
I'll let Janice take the lead on this.
Janice, would you mind if I just kind of give equal time here?
No, that's all right. You go ahead. You know me and you.
Well, anyway, just for those who might be interested, we're the GOP here in Kauai is having a breakfast celebrating the inauguration of Donald J. Trump. And it's going to be down at Mariachi's restaurant, Dutch Treat. And you can be there at 6:45 on Friday morning. It's down at Harbor Mall, not the one in Kapaa. You go down the one in Kapaa, you'll be sorely disappointed. But they're going to open up an hour early for the Kauai GOP. And we're going to have breakfast upstairs and watch the inauguration on the big screen. So 6:45, we'll arrive. We'll have breakfast. And they're going to give us a 10% discount if we have more than 10. And trust me, we have far more than 10 showing up right now. Which I think it's you know me, I'm not politically correct, am I? Janice, and you don't know me very well, but
I don't know you. Janice knows you. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, but isn't this amazing that we're going to be watching the inauguration live at 7 a.m. eating breakfast, and we're eating in a Mexican restaurant. Who's the guy that said he was going to build a wall, keep the illegal aliens out?
That's good for you folks.
And who is going to pay for it? But Mexico. So they're giving us a 10% discount. So it kind of fits. So anyway, if any of you guys are interested in coming, just give me a call, 808-855-5503, or you can reach me on email at steve@gophawaii.com, if you'd like, steve@gophawaii.com. And if you'd like to go to the breakfast, it's Dutch Treat, just showing up, and we'd love to have you. That's going to be Friday, 6:45 a.m., and the inauguration will start at 7 a.m., which is 12 p.m. in Washington, D.C., so it's just a little side
note. Can
I
give a shout-out, Steve?
Sure.
We had, on the 7th, sign-making at Ha Coffee Shop, and we had people who had never really been involved come out. The YWCA opened their gazebo up to us Saturday, and we had 18 people there. We had to get more tables and chairs, so... that was very effective. We even had visitors from Canada show up to make signs. And, so many now that we're making name tags for everybody that's been responding. And I want to give a shout-out to Paul Spears. He's District 14 chair for the Democratic Party, as well as Ellie Smith, who's the property manager for the airport. And Emily Goldbeck, she's off island, but she'll be here on the 20th, and for Sherry as well. She'll be calling in soon. So I'm going to drop out now. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you very much, Janice. I appreciate it. And somebody's already chided me thinking I was making a joke, but I wasn't making a joke. I just was talking about the irony. Okay. So anyway, we have some phone calls, I think, coming in. Janice just left us. Anything you want to say?
Okay, thank you for giving me the opportunity to call in today. And I'm really sorry Felicia's stuck in traffic. I hope everybody's okay. And just want to thank you very much for the opportunity. And I just want to say that this is about sisterhood. It's about us all being together on the same page. You know, we're all supporting each other. It's not a, you know, yours or mine or theirs. You know, it's not about, you know, it's we're together and supporting each other. And I think it's going to be a wonderful day. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm appreciating the opportunity.
Okay.
And I want to thank the mayor's office for having it be allowed. And thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Ann, thanks a lot for calling in and letting everybody know what's happening on. We're going to take some phone calls here.
Okay, mahalo.
Mahalo, hon. God bless. Okay, we have
Hi, this is
Stephen Jay, and you've tuned into KKCR, and you've called in. And so what have you got to say?
Hi, my name is Lisa Ellen Smith, and I'm the co-chair for the Women's March here on Kauai. It'll be held at Ahukini from 11 to 1. And I just wanted to really quickly tell you that the D.C. rally actually begins at 10 a.m., contrary to Ann, who is another community volunteer, as well as Janice Bond. I want to thank them both for their community volunteerism and their efforts with the march. But I'm calling on behalf of Sherry Campagna, who is not able to call in today. Was actually one of my members of the Committee on the Status of Women, excuse me, Oahu representative. I'm your Kauai representative for the Committee on the Status of Women. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. But just to remind people that it is an all-inclusive event. Everyone is welcome.
Good. Okay, well, thank you very much. And we're going to take another phone call. Was there something else that you want to add?
Sherry will not be calling in, so if you had any questions, okay. I would be the person, but you have a great day. And
okay.
Later. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Aloha. Okay, next caller. You're on the air. KKCR.
Stephen Jay.
Yes.
How did I know that you were going to get up at 6:45 in the morning and go listen to Tweetler?
Yeah, that's right. I am, along with other 306 electoral votes.
306 people on iOS.
Yeah, there's no electoral votes. But anyway, go ahead. So why did you call? Was it just
why
to
do
ask
I call
me about
him Tweetler?
That? No. Why did you call into the radio station? Just that, or anything else, or?
I just don't think it's very presidential for him to be tweeting, and that's why I call him Tweetler.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not presidential. Possibly. That's an opinion. That's not a hard cold
what's
fact.
What's not presidential? What?
It's not a hard cold fact that it's not presidential.
Oh,
it's new technology.
I didn't personally attack you.
I didn't.
Sorry you took it that way.
No, I didn't take it that way. I didn't think you attacked me at all. But as far as tweeting, I know I've heard of people saying that this isn't presidential. I think is your radio on in the background?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you. But
yeah, why don't you turn off your radio and you'll hear me through the phone because we're getting a feedback.
It's off.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, I was just going to say
I hope people are safe out on the highway and everyone relax. You'll get home eventually. And God bless America.
God bless America. Thank you very much for calling. So let's take a song right here. It's first track, 1968, November. The Beatles, Back in the USSR.
I'm back in the USSR. USSR.
Okay, and on the air right now we have Bailey. Bailey, and you're with the Kapa'a Civic Club, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
And it sounds like you also have some other chatter going on there in the background.
Yeah, I know. I'm at Kilauea Bakery. Hold on. I'm going to walk away real quick.
Okay.
Let me get to a more quiet space. Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, thank you. So you're calling in, and in regards to what on Felice's show today? What subject were you guys going to talk about?
At the beginning of 2016, I founded the Kapa'a High Civic Club, and my mission was to get our students civically engaged and to get them thinking about current events and knowing what's going on around the world. And so with that, I had Dr. Sandra Combs as my advisor for the club, and we decided we're going to go to the inauguration, the presidential inauguration for 2017. And so I, along with six other kids, and Dr. Combs and my father, Matt Bernabe, will be going to the presidential inauguration. We leave tomorrow. In the afternoon tomorrow. And so we'll land. We're going to go do a bunch of sightseeing and go to all the museums. We're going to be at the inauguration on the 20th. Tulsi Gabbard was kind enough to donate tickets to the viewing platform for us. And then there's a whole bunch of educational stuff that we'll be doing as well, because we partnered with an educational touring company called World Strides. So they kind of have like a schedule for us to follow, and we're going to be learning all this educational stuff about our nation while taking part in once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Boy, it is quite an experience. Now, I know Dr. Combs very well, because she ran for the State House and District 16 here in Kauai, and she didn't win this time, but perhaps in the future. And Bailey, is your dad Matt Bernabe?
Yep, that's my father. He's coming with us as well.
Good. Now, do you remember meeting me at Pizza Hut when we
Brick Oven Pizza?
I thought that was you. Yeah, we had a GOP meeting there, folks, and Bailey was there. And Bailey, thanks a lot so much for calling in. So tell us about your trip. How long are you guys going to be gone? You're leaving Wednesday for D.C.
So we'll be there for a week. We come back on the 24th. We've been planning this for like a year and a year now. As soon as we made contact with the company that we were working with and we got the okay from the school and whatnot, we were on it. We raised some funds, and we decided, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to go out, and we're going to go all the way to the other side of the nation, to the East Coast, and we're going to go see Trump get inaugurated.
Well, good. So you are 16, 17 years old now. How old are you?
I turned 18 on the 25th, so...
5 days after the inauguration, yeah. So you'll be graduating in 2017.
Yep, I'll be graduating this year.
So, you know, I'm always interested in how young people feel about politics and what's happening in our nation, you know, not only local but state issues, but also federal issues. And so why are you excited about going to see Donald J. Trump inaugurated as president?
Well, from a young age, I've been interested in politics. I go with my dad to like every single meeting out there. Well, at least I tried to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, don't quote me on this, but in
you're on
like,
the air.
10th grade. I know, but
go ahead.
In like 10th grade, I used to like skip school. I mean, we're not going to bring this up to like DOE or anything, but I used to like skip school and I go like attend county council meetings with him instead. And my teachers would be like, yeah, you're probably learning more there than in class. I'd always be ahead of everybody else in class. So I go and hang out at the county council and, like, listen to what's going on in our county. I always go to public hearings with my dad, et cetera. And so I kind of just found it something I was interested in. When I was younger, he would give me a topic, and if I didn't answer his question about it, he'd be like, okay, now it's your turn. You got to go research it and give me a report on it, because you weren't paying attention to the news. And so I just kind of was raised to be involved, I guess, in current events and know what's going on in the world. So, yeah, that's kind of my history with politics. And hopefully, you know, one day I'll be up in the White House. You guys can vote for me in 2036, because that's when I'm eligible to run. Like, I did my research. I even know the year I'm eligible. It's just really interesting because I feel like a lot of my peers aren't, you know, educated in what's going on. They don't know what's going on. They're kind of just oblivious to what's actually happening.
Real quick, let me interject. And I do have a caller who will be bringing him in, so stay on the air, stay on the line. But what do you think how do you think young people are missing the boat on really what's happening in national government? I know this, it's a host of myriad of issues, but what issue kind of comes to your mind first off where kids just don't get it?
They just don't get it. I feel like they're not informed, and they go off of what other people tell them. So if they have like an auntie or uncle that's also not informed, like they're going to listen to their auntie, uncle, mom, dad, and they're going to be like, oh, my auntie said this, so I'm not going to vote for this person because of this. Or that guy's bad because I seen something on Instagram about him that wasn't, you know.
Can you give me an example?
That wasn't the best. Like with Trump's presidency, like they had so many memes about what he was doing. Like they had, you know what a meme is, right?
A meme?
I'll explain it. Yeah, okay. It's like this thing where they take a picture of a person or some like a scene that happened, and then they'll like caption it with some totally drastic, over-exaggerated, funny caption.
I understand.
People are so uneducated that they find themselves actually believing what the tweet or the meme or the post said about it, even if it's not true, and they just go based off of what they see on social media.
You know, that's kind of interesting, because we just had a caller in who said that President Trump was not being presidential because he tweets, but yet we see everybody else doing it. So I guess it's okay for everybody else to misinform people, but the president-elect cannot inform people how he really feels. Would you agree with that, or would you disagree, or how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like we're in a free nation, so you should be able to say what's on your mind, because that's kind of what the First Amendment is talking about, freedom of speech, right? Like, if they have the venue, say what you want to say, but don't say it. I mean, like, make sure you still say it with some sort of, you know, class or when you're, like, in such a high position, you know?
Exactly. No,
I mean, don't just be like, hey.
Show deference. Show politeness. Yeah. Show courtesy. Yeah.
Do it in a professional manner, but still say what you want to say. But just make sure it's, like, still not, I don't know. It's not, like, having a conversation with your friend about stuff, but it's like public, especially when you have that many followers, you know.
Let me ask you this: when I was working down at the GOP booth, the Republican booth at the county fair here last August, I remember having Filipino folks coming up. We're doing a kind of a straw poll on who they wanted to see become president: Stein, Johnson, Clinton, or Trump. And I remember quite a few Filipinos coming up to me and saying, "I would not vote for Trump because he's against immigration. He wants to send all the Filipinos."
Wait, hold on. You're going in and out. Let me move. Hold on. Okay, wait. Repeat that last part of the sentence again.
Filipinos came up and said, "Steve, I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump for president." Of course, at this time, he had not won the nomination, the Republican nomination. But they said, because Trump believes is against immigration, and he wants to send people who have immigrated to the United States back to their home countries. And, of course, I tried to explain to him. He says, no, he believes in immigration. He just doesn't believe in illegal immigration. If we're breaking the law, we should follow the law. So I was just wondering what's your thoughts on immigration.
On immigration?
Mm-hmm. About illegal immigration, excuse me. Illegal immigration.
Oh,
immigration. Are you for it? Do you think we should just open up our borders or what?
I mean, I feel like people, like Americans, go to other countries and then they'll have a problem if you don't have your passport. So it's kind of like the same thing as you know, other countries coming to us. But, yeah, I feel like people should just take the class and take the test and become legal citizens. It's not that hard of a thing to do. I mean, we have to do the – I remember last – or was it last year? Yeah, last year. We have to take the immigration test to see, like, if we could answer all 100 questions, right? Because it's 100 questions. And actually, in Combs – it was in Combs' class we took the test to see. So, I mean, if you're moving to this country, you should be able to at least pass the test.
Yep.
And it's not that hard of a thing to do. You just can get a – you can get the book for, like, I don't know, at a dollar store for pretty cheap.
Bailey, hold that thought. I'm going to put somebody on the air here.
Okay.
Okay, you're on the air with KKCR.
Steve, I love you, man. I am so glad you're back.
Tyrone, I'm not back. I'm just – as there's a car accident. I think I just accidentally put –
You didn't cause it, did you? I hope.
No, I didn't cause it. I got there too late. Anyway, and I'm not making a joke about the accident, folks. It seems like if you say anything, you sometimes hear it offends people. I always tell people that being offended never killed anybody. But anyway, but thank you for calling in. So what are your thoughts about the inauguration and Donald J. Trump? And
What's the restaurant called? Is it Sunday, you said?
It's Friday, January 20th. 7 a.m.
Okay.
Hawaii time.
I think
it's
going to be awesome. I'd like to be part of it. And so I'll see you down there.
Okay, so you're going to come down and have breakfast with us 6:45 a.m. Friday at Mariachi's Harbor Mall, Willie Willie Harbor.
And that's the,
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, I'll look forward to it.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Tyrone. I'm going to get her back on the air here. Hold on.
You got it.
Okay, thank you for calling
in.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bailey. Did I lose you there?
Oh, no, I'm here.
You know, there's a way to put both you on the air at the same time, and maybe Laura Christine, if you're listening, maybe you can show me how to do that. I used to know how to do that, but it's been over 2 years, nearly 3 years since I've been on the air. But so, I mean, immigration, even if it takes 5 years, it's worth it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like half Filipino, so I'm here legally. If my ancestors can do it, so can you.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems a shame to allow people to go to the front of the line. Do you know who Mark Zuckerberg is?
Yep.
Did you know he bought 350?
Facebook guy. Yep.
Yeah, 350 acres.
He's building that big rock wall.
Yeah, he's the guy, because people of wealth and notoriety, celebrity status, believe that if they say something, that has an effect upon an election. So whenever I take people on tours, as we pass Ko'olau Road, heading south, the 20-mile marker, heading down towards, as we're traveling around the island, I always point out the wall right there, and I said, folks, see that big old honking wall there? And they said, yeah. And I says, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, and they said, yeah, Facebook. And I says, well, he said during the run for the White House that he didn't believe in walls. He believed in bridges. And I says, look who's building a big old honking wall. I says, I bet he's putting doors with locks on it and windows with locks in his house. I bet he may even have, dare I say it, bodyguards with guns. Nobody's
and cameras.
So anyway, it's amazing how people say one thing and in their own personal lives they do another.
They do the whole exact opposite.
Yeah, open borders, but we sure don't want to have anybody coming into our property or into our house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shoot. What else is on your mind? Because we're not having. I'm surprised we're not having anybody else calling in. Usually, people would want to be calling in.
I think people
subject.
Are more mad about being stuck in traffic. We're stuck in traffic. We're in front of Felicia, actually.
Are you really?
We were like, we're running late, and she was like, oh, I'm only here. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm in front of you.
Hey, let me interject right here, folks. Once again, this is from the county of Kauai. I came in at 4:35, so I just got here about 5 minutes ago. I received this. Tow trucks are now arriving to the scene. There's a major traffic accident at Princeville Airport. Traffic is closed in both ways. The highway will be reopened as soon as the vehicles can be cleared from the roadway. As a safety precaution, motorists in the area are advised to stay in their vehicles and listen to KKCR to allow for safe passage of emergency vehicles to and from the scene. So this is coming from the county of Kauai. So continue on. Bailey.
Oh, I lost track because I was listening to the report.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. But it really does me good. And I know that Sandy, and we talked about this Saturday, Sandy Combs, Dr. Sandra Combs, how she wants to see more young people involved in politics. But I don't know if you really realize it or not. I think what you're doing is very good, getting something going there at Kapaa High School. We've tried with students at Kauai Community College to get something started there, like a Young Republicans Club. But if you put the word Republican in it, they won't even consider it. So we've got to figure out another clandestine, covert way to say, here, this is a way that people can to express their views who are millennials. I guess somebody going to KCC could be older than a millennial, but to where right. at least there's some type of a present, because the dogma of liberal arts, and it's in their name, at our colleges today, and even in our high schools, and now it's creeping down into our grade schools, it's yeah. very liberal. It's to find something that's conservative, it's very difficult anymore. In fact, I think teachers are afraid to say something. And I know some people are even afraid who've called into KKCR when I used to be here on the air, who were conservative. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let me put you on the air. And they says, no, I don't want to go on the air. I'll be crucified. So people are feel very intimidated today if they have a conservative point of view. So I applaud you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of young people need to step up and get involved in politics, because we are kind of the next generation, and after this, like, we're going to be in charge, and if people aren't interested and actually know what's going on, then we're going to be one clueless nation, because we are kind of the next generation that's supposed to take over. So that's just my opinion. So I started at Kapaa High. I'm trying to get my student body involved in knowing current events and their civic duties as a person of the United States.
Well, it's good if people will have at least an open mind to the U.S. Constitution, what law is, Justice Prudence, and as far as what the Supreme Court is about, the three branches of government, executive, mm-hmm. legislative, and
yeah, like checks and balances and all of that stuff.
And the Supreme Court, because in my own opinion, Bailey, we've been having for the last 8 years, which I don't call it the Obama era, I call it the Obama error, because it's been running roughshod over the Supreme Court, where of course that's where he has a hard time with many times, but especially with Congress, because laws can only be passed by both houses of Congress, and of course the president signs for them. These are the checks and balances, and I must applaud President Obama. He's been a very astute politician in learning how he can circumvent that process and make it look mm-hmm. like it's legal. In some cases it is. And of course, the only problem is when you put forth a royal edict from the White House, the next one coming in can just say, sorry, it's out the door. So that's the reason why it's important to create law and to pass law through both houses of Congress. Okay, we have somebody else coming in. And Laura, if you're still out there, show me how to keep Bailey on the air at the same time.
Hold on. I was on the air last time, I could hear.
Well, we couldn't hear you. Anyway. Let me see what happens here. Oh. I think I didn't do it. But anyway, caller, you're on the air. KKCR.
How you doing? Yeah, I was just sitting here in traffic coming across, going west across the Kalihue Bridge. And two tow trucks brought two rental cars out so far. I don't know how many more they got out. They've got about four tow trucks going in, but should be flowing here pretty soon.
Boy, that's great news. Do you know, did you see?
I don't know. Everybody, you young people and you Republicans, I don't know. What's wrong with Republicans?
Well, nothing. I've been all my life. I've been one.
Yeah, well, how did you happen to become a Republican?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
How did you happen to become a Republican?
Well, I was born in Southern California, Orange County.
Orange County.
So that's very conservative. Okay. My dad's from Shipshewana, Indiana, and he's of Amish Mennonite background. My last name's Yoder. So generally, very, very conservative people. But you know, I that's what I heard my dad say. But I kind of take a look at things and I say, yeah, that makes sense to me. I'd hear the liberal side, because I went to public school not only in California but here in Hawaii.
That's good. Yeah. And I was a Democrat. My mom was from Manhattan, Kansas. She was a Republican, and I don't even know how they voted, you know.
Yeah.
And I was Democrat, and then I went independent and more libertarian, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even like the whole political system. It's such a mess. I sure hope these young people can do something about it.
They will. And we always think that each generation, you know, they think, well, it's hopeless. And I've heard that I'm 62 going on 63, and I've heard it all my life.
Here's what I would like to say. I would like to see John Kennedy get a chance to stay there for 8 years in office, you know?
Who is that?
I would have liked to seen John Kennedy get to spend 8 years in office. You know why? I'm not going to get into the politics, but he was going to disown the Federal Reserve Bank. You know, and what do you think? What kind of a shape we would financially be in America right now? Just wonderful. You know, well, he didn't last long after he said that.
Ronald Reagan in 1981 proposed cutting taxes, and guess who the first guy was that did it? It was John F. Kennedy.
Oh, Reagan. Yeah. Hey, Reagan. Reagan wrote an IOU for the. So I'm collecting Social Security. I'm 68 right now, but yeah. Anyway. Reagan took all the money. Oh, that's surplus money in Social Security, and it was never. I talked to the grandson of Franklin Roosevelt. Well, that's not his dad, but I talked to the grandson, and that money was never supposed to be touched.
No, you're incorrect on that. The person who touched it was LBJ in 1966.
Ronald Reagan, right? And they still haven't paid that.
No. He didn't pull any money out. In fact, it was LBJ that put Social Security into the general fund in 1966.
You know what they really want to do?
Okay.
Is they want to collapse it so they don't have to pay Social Security, yeah. You know?
But anyway, what you said about John F. Kennedy, he was a different type of Democrat. He was a very conservative Democrat. Now, you think of what socialism is today. Basically,
yeah, right.
Bernie Sanders is saying, ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what your country can do for you. JFK said the very opposite thing.
Yeah, JFK said, you know, but I didn't know Bernie Sanders said it would reverse that one around.
Yeah, and that's basically the Democrat Party now has gone way to the extreme left. It's not the party of John F. Kennedy, that's for sure.
Am I on the air or not on the air? Just talking to you.
No, you're on the air. Everybody's hearing you.
The flow of traffic's starting to speed up coming out. And
okay.
Slowly going west.
Well,
you know, heading west.
Well, listen, thank you so much for your phone call, and we'll...
There's good people. Everybody should be good people
okay.
in the world. That's what I see it as.
Good. I agree with you. Okay, folks, I just want to let you know, thank you very much. I just want to let you guys know that you've tuned in to KKCR in Honolulu, KAQA in Kilauea, 90.9 on the North Shore, 91.9 on all other shores. You can find us down there on a hole at 92.7 FM and on cable at 95.1, and we're going to go to a song.
She's not a girl who misses much. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, yeah. She's well acquainted with the touch of the velvet hand, like a lizard on a window pane. A man in the crowd with the multicolored mirrors on his hobnail boots. With his eyes while his hands are busy working overtime. A soap impression of his wife, which he ate and donated to the National Trust. I'm going down, down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix, cause I'm going down. Mother Superior jumped the gun. 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 Mother Superior jumped the gun.
Happiness is a warm gun. Happiness is a warm gun, Mama. When I hold you in my arms and I feel my finger on your trigger, I know nobody can do. Is a warm gun, Mama.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on here. Hold on here. I'll let you remind people. Hold on. Okay, you are now. You are. Thank you. You are. Thank you, Deb. Deb's here helping me. You are now on the air. What did you want to remind people about?
I just wanted to quote Henry Ford. Without change, there is no progress.
Thank you.
So we can't have progress without change. So I'm all in for Trump. We need to change. Thank God he's getting all these people that aren't politicians. I mean, we can be doing the same old thing and expect a different result. And we all know that definition is crazy.
Yep.
Right?
It's certainly interesting how things are falling upon party lines. It's people are always saying work across the aisle, but with these Senate hearings and confirmations, it doesn't seem like they're really working across the aisle too much. But
I don't know what happened. I didn't get to see the
education. You're in education. Betsy DeVos, and for those guys who may not know who Betsy DeVos is, she's a major player in Michigan politics. Her husband actually was running for office. And for the governorship, and he lost to, God, I forget her name, but kind of attractive looking young lady who was governor, and then I think Obama put her into the cabinet in some way. But anyway, Betsy DeVos is very strong for school choice, charter schools. She's not against public schools, and I want to make that clear. But it seems that some people in the Senate don't even want to hear about private schools, homeschools.
It's interesting. I just want to make a comment about that, and then I'm going to let you go here. I had an educator friend, and I've been in the business for over 30 years, and she said, oh, she's so scared if Trump gets elected. And I said, well, why? She says, well, we won't get any money, you know? We won't get any help in our classrooms. And I looked at her, and I said, I don't know about you, but when have we ever gotten any help, you know? And then she kind of looked at me, well, never. And I'm like, yeah. And then I started thinking about it. And actually, we have been blessed on the North Shore to get a tremendous amount of help from the private sector. You know, Stephen Stills donated a lot of money to buy ukuleles and fund music programs. And the Rotarians are just doing an outstanding job donating their time in the classrooms. You know, these are private people donating their time and resources to help us. So I think we're all in for a change. I'm in for a change. And obviously Trump's right in his statistics. We're not faring very well in our educational system as it stands.
Yeah. Well, I remember eight years ago how people said, why don't you give Obama a chance, President Obama? And I think we pretty much did. He was elected office twice. But I kind of sense that people don't really give President Trump, not everyone, of course, but many people. I really appreciate what Tom Hanks had to say, even though he didn't vote for him. He says, well, I'm hoping that he'll give me a reason to want to vote for him in 2020. And I really appreciate that. And so anyway, we'll see what happens. But I hope everybody would just kind of cool their jets. And he is appointing some really good people to cabinet positions.
Yeah, and they're very intelligent, bright people. And, we need to remind people, he didn't win by a slight margin. He won by pretty much a landslide in the
election. Right.
And that, yep. The politics.
That's so true. Well, Joe, listen, I'm going to go on to another caller. This poor guy has been waiting on here for 2 minutes
Aloha.
And 27 seconds. Thank you very much. Aloha. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, aloha. Yeah, I don't even have radio reception, but it was nice to listen to the program again.
Well, good.
But, my radio died. I just called to find out if you got ahead, you know, what's up with the traffic.
Okay. The latest that I've heard from our last caller, as well as Felicia, called in. And I encourage Felicia to come on up here because I'd really like to go home. So, but I just came up here to fill in. And the tow trucks have showed up, and I believe as soon as they clear the cars, and basically here it is. I'll just read to you what was given to us.
Okay.
45 minutes ago as regards to the traffic accident near Princeville Airport. Tow trucks are now arriving to the scene. The highway will be reopened as soon as the vehicles can be cleared from the roadway. As a safety precaution, motorists in the area are advised to stay in their vehicles to allow for the safe passage of emergency vehicles to and from the scene. So That's where we're at right now. And there's somebody else that's calling in. Anything you want to make a comment on here before I go to the next caller?
Well, yeah. I can just say there's traffic coming. I'm a Kilauea. I just turned on the highway.
Okay, so you're seeing cars in the other lane.
Traffic's coming.
Okay. Okay.
From Monterey direction.
Okay. Well,
so
Jim.
Maybe open one way.
Jim, thank you very much for calling in. I'm going to go to the next caller.
Thank you.
Okay. KKCR, you're on the air.
Hi, it is Felicia. So I didn't mean to make you get off the line with Jim. I see that there are cars coming eastbound, you know, towards Kapaa. But right now the traffic is still backed up well beyond Kilauea. Marshall and I are both on our way trying to get there. Kind of strange, sort of almost good news on that accident. I saw two ambulances just speeding as fast as they could, you know, leaving the scene maybe a half hour ago. So what that means is that whoever's in those ambulances is still alive.
Exactly.
You know, if there had been a fatality, they would be going the regular speed.
Yeah.
So thank God for speeding ambulances. Yeah.
You know, you think of how well organized our country is in comparison to living anywhere else in the country. And you think about, with all the complaints that we have, Felicia, how well things do work, especially in times of emergency. And this is a classic example. And when I got stuck in traffic, I thought of when I was running for office a couple of years ago, one of the things I wanted to see happen was to open up a bypass between Princeville, where you go up, you know, the road that takes you up into the ag area of Princeville before you get to Princeville proper, the residential area.
And right, you're talking about Kapaka Road, which is, you know, people call that Princeville Heights or Princeville Ag properties.
Exactly. And it's to go all the way down to, what's the guy's, Knudsen's Pass.
It will take you, you know, it'll take you to Wailua, and then you could go over to Puhi. I was part of looking at that. That is not particularly feasible financially. People do suggest making that be a toll road. One of the reasons that the Kapaa Business Association stood down on it and the North Shore Business Council stood down on it, like I was the president of that at the time, and because it is just too powerfully important to our host culture, our Hawaiian community, and what we see, you know, more and more compellingly is that they do have standing on what they have held to be true, that this was an illegal occupation. They do not want it there, and we, you know, can't fund it easily, and it could do a lot of damage. So that is why that didn't happen.
Well,
I want to hear what you have to say. And
well,
then I
good.
Have some announcements, too, because it might still be a while. I want to thank you so much for going in there and doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. I'm not used to doing talk show hosts. But anyway, I'm more of a music guy. But the part where I disagree with you respectfully is that the Hawaiian people, it's more than just, people who live in Hawaii, people of Hawaiian ancestry, they're stuck in this traffic jam also. And it's so easy to actually put a highway, a simple two-lane highway. It's mostly all state land, so people are worried that people will build along or will put up businesses along it. They're no more going to do that than they have in the bypass with Bette Midler. The county can always put some type of an edict or a ruling down where you can't build along it, still keep it prime, but you can spoke up from Wailua. This thing could actually go, Felicia, all the way to Knudsen's Gap. That's where the road – basically, it's the
That's
power line
correct.
Trail. It's the power line
come,
trail.
It would come out at – and
I actually know it's Knudsen's Gap.
All you're saying is correct. I was just saying why there was a stand down.
Okay.
It was out of respect for culture.
Okay, there's also respect on this side, but Knudsen's Gap is not Puhi. Knudsen's Gap is the tree tunnel. So that's how far this thing goes.
Right.
Because what this is, that's where the gap is.
Mm-hmm. So, you're correct.
Okay. So basically, we can have people coming out of Kaloa and Poipu coming all the way to Princeville without ever touching Highway 56, and especially in cases like this. And I know if we can build a bridge from mainland Florida to Key West across the ocean, or if we can build the Golden Gate Bridge during the Depression, which was a tollway, and when they finished paying for it, then it was no longer a tollway. If we can build a road across Lake Pontchartrain, a four-lane highway across that lake, it's miles and miles long. Opshkin, Bopshkins, Hell's Bells, we can build one up there, but there's more shenanigans going on that's preventing it. And you can still make it all conducive with, you know, observing,
it could
happen.
I mean, there's
Kapuna areas or whatever. But
with the private road, I mean, it could happen.
Sure it could.
As I said, it
would help out.
That's not an easy thing.
Of course it's not easy.
If it's a private road, it's easier. If it was a toll road, I mean, all those conversations have happened.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me interject. Cause
I want to say, who else do you think didn't really want it? Who else do you think didn't really want it?
You know, I haven't got my head down into that section. I remember talking to Jay Farfaro. He says, oh, that'll never happen. I says, but
the
why?
The east side business community didn't really want that to happen. All the people who would be bypassed, just like any small town in America never wanted the highway to bypass them.
Well, that's true. But the practicality of it is women still want to shop. Now, this is where I become a male chauvinist.
Yeah, that's
women like to shop,
yeah,
and they don't
sure.
want to get on no bypass.
I agree with that.
They want to go shopping. So those, but can you imagine if we don't do something soon, Felicia, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to widen 56 going through Kapaa. Now, what kind of destruction do you think that would do to business? It would kill them. My dad, my own father, opened up a restaurant bar where Pennies from Heaven was written in their piano bar back in the mm-hmm. 30s. And what was right across from CBS Records somewhere in Hollywood, and they tore up the road in front of them and put them out of business. That was my dad's first.
I get that. And,
yeah.
And I wanted to share a few announcements. So I wanted the
yes.
listeners to be able to hear. And I'm a woman who does not like to shop. So not all women like to shop.
No, but the majority do. And that's
Pardon
what
me?
I'm talking about. The majority of women do like to shop.
Okay, to all the women
I'd be willing to stake Felicia,
but,
I'd be willing to stake Marshall's life on it. I'm that sure of it.
All right. anyway,
okay.
I want to make a few announcements, if I can. There is going to be a surf rider cleanup. Like Saturday, we heard about things for the Million Women March, but there's many other ways that people can participate in community all the time in building community. So there, Surfrider is going to have a really massive cleanup this Saturday on the east side. There are Facebook posts on it and on my website. I can't pull my computer open because I'm in standstill traffic waiting to come, but it is going to be, there's going to be buses taking people. It's going to be along the road. It's going to be in the community, and it's going to be on the beach for a whole big segment in the Anahola, North Kapaa area. I believe the meeting is at Anahola Clubhouse. So that is a beautiful thing that's going on. I want to also acknowledge the planning department and the council that are working on trying to create housing. Lack of housing is a very big issue. And Kaina Hall, he's the deputy director of planning, and he is starting the process of attending neighborhood association meetings to just be bouncing off the community how they feel about additional rental units.
Okay.
It would be essentially increasing density in communities across the island. It isn't yet an ordinance. It's just a discussion and a suggestion because housing is a crisis. And I like that the council was talking about it and referring to it as a complete crisis. Many people cannot find homes. And so when they're looking at what was like before an additional dwelling unit on property size is 6,000 or above. Like if it's less than 6,000, people can put in 400 square foot additional dwelling unit, that is, or rental unit. That's what has been proposed before.
Yeah.
Or if it's like a friends or relatives. It's a way to create housing without it having cost to the county. And there's a lot of consideration, like, is the infrastructure there to manage it?
If I may interject here, is that, you know, the three things that inhibit business most, that's the reason why there's no more sugarcane or pineapple. A lot of businesses leave. Hawaii is 46th in the nation, most undesirable. There's only four other states beside us, and I'm not sure which ones those are. But it's very hard to do business. And the three things are taxes, labor unions, and regulation. And what you're speaking specifically to here is regulation. Ronald Reagan had a really good saying about government. If something moves, the government wants to tax it. If it keeps moving, they want to regulate it. And if it stops moving, they want to subsidize it. And this is what kills business, is not being able to take the blinders off and see what the people need, but because of so much useless regulation, as what you're speaking about, the size of a dwelling and so on, that they can't make an exception.
Well, they're trying to open up the capacity.
Exactly.
And they're trying to have it be somewhat of a stopgap measure. And I think when keeping it small, part of that is thinking about the footprint on the land. This is all a conversation.
I have a phone caller. We've been losing phone callers as you've been talking. I want to bring people in. Would that be okay?
Sorry.
That's okay. Hold on. You're on the air. This is KKCR.
Hi, Laura. This is Lori calling.
Okay, Lori, real quick, turn off your radio. Turn off your radio. Because we won't be able to hear what you're saying, so you got to turn it off.
It's off.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the Surfrider Foundation Beach Cleanup is on Saturday, and the meeting place is actually at Anahola Beach near the lifeguard tower.
Okay. Smith Beach, as we used to call it.
I heard police say that it was at the clubhouse, but it's actually at Anahola Beach.
Okay, there at Smith, what we used to call it when I was a kid, Smith Beach. Okay, right there near the lifeguard station. And that will
near
be at what time?
Station, right.
So what time on Saturday?
We're having several locations are being cleaned because there's so much marine debris along the coves there between Anahola Bay and Kealia. So we're having a cleanup from 9 to noon, and at noon we have food and live music. Sashimon is performing at noon,
Sashimon.
And we have plenty of prizes as well
for
anyone who joins in the cleanup.
So if any of you guys are interested, it'll be from 9 to 12. There'll be kind of meeting to fan out from there, but you're going to be meeting at Old Smith Beach down there at Anahola at the lifeguard station near the pier pilings, if any of you guys are kind of curious about that. January 21st, Saturday at 9. It will go on from 9 to 12, and you're going to be covering between Anahola, Donkey Beach, and Kealia Beach. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. God, that's great. And, you know, and you guys do a lot of great work. I know I take my tours sometimes down to Moloa, and I see where you guys have pulled stuff even off down as far north as Moloa.
Yeah, we're actually partnering with Sustainable Coastlines also, which is an organization from Oahu. So they will be coming to support our island this weekend, as well as going to several schools and teaching children about marine debris in Hawaii and what we can do about it.
Lori, can I ask you a quick question off the subject? You know, we had this terrible car accident.
Yes.
Would you be willing to pay a toll to not get stuck in that traffic and continue where you're going if we had a bypass road?
That's a tough one for me. I was actually just right in that area. I was just in Kilauea and listening to your program.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you talking about the toll.
I would
probably be interested to learn more about it.
Well, it's an option.
I live in Wailua. I am affected by the kapa'a grind.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in hearing more about it, yes.
Because I'm getting tired of cutting through the Shell gasoline station Wailua to try and get around all that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days I'm going to get tagged.
It's pretty bad. It's
really bad, you know, and I do it safely. But if it was a buck or two, I mean, because tolls aren't really that expensive because it's based on there's safety in numbers, and the more people to do it, the more money we have coming in the cash flow. You can sell bonds. There's many things that the government can do if it wants to. And I was going to ask him, you know what? I'm going to ask Felicia the same question. Well, thank you for calling in. Is there anything else, Lori?
That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lori.
Aloha.
Aloha. Okay, so I asked the question to you, Felicia, if you're still on the air. Would you be willing to pay a toll to travel to not get stuck in traffic?
Are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking you. I'm just curious, putting the ball in your court.
Because
not talking points. I just want to hear whether you're willing to pay a toll or not. We've heard all the talking points. I'm just
okay.
That's the question I want to answer.
Toll? Sure. I'm willing to pay a toll, but okay. I'm willing to be stuck in traffic rather than to desecrate what is seen as sacred to a community whose home I have been Hanai'd.
Okay, so, but we built H3, and that took God off long on Oahu, and they observed all the rules. So it is possible to build it. Of course, that's not a toll road. That's a freeway. But, okay, well, listen.
Yeah, the people over there feel, you know, desperately injured.
I am.
For me,
I don't remember too many Hawaiians living inland. I think most of the Hawaiian fishing villages were on the coast near River Mouse. But I have another phone call. You mind if I take it?
Okay, take any call you get.
Okay, here we go. Okay, you're on the air. This is KKCR.
Hey, I'd like to comment.
Yes, please do. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, I was so glad Felicia called in and said it because I was thinking, oh, my God, she's actually going on the air asking people if they want a road from Puku Stables over to Kalola.
No, she didn't. I did. I'm the one who asked that question. She didn't
I know.
Up.
I know. And I was just like, God, that is. It's this is the last deep country we got. Why do we want to exploit it just because we're stuck in a traffic jam?
Well, it's not exploiting it.
Come on, man. I mean, there's a reason why our ancestors stayed by the coast. You're absolutely right. Probably not too many kapuna are buried up Mauka.
I doubt it.
But
you're right. I agree with you.
This is a respect issue. This isn't even our frickin' island, brah.
Well, you can still build something.
You know, you go celebrate Trump, buddy.
Okay.
Aloha.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, that was kind. Okay. Back. Yeah, you hear the darndest things. So anyway, well, there you go, Felicia. You still there? Okay. I think Felicia's left us. Okay. So folks, we're going to go on here with another song. We're approaching the bottom of the hour. I appreciate you guys tuning in to KKCR. And here's our next song. I think you guys will like it.
Okay.
Okay, and we're back. God, that was one of my favorite bluesy versions of Revolution. Actually, that song right there, folks, released in November 1968, the White Album, for in time for the Christmas market. The Beatles were capitalists. You may want to dispute that, but they were. But what happened was he wrote that, and who's the guy who's the guy who produced him? George Martin says, John, I don't think it's it. And Paul probably chimed in too. Says, yeah, let's speed it up a little bit. So that's the reason why he came out with a single version, and they kept that one on the album. But that was John's original contribution. That's the reason why he says, you talk about violence in or out. He wasn't too sure at that point. But anyway, we do have a phone caller on the air. Betsy, you're calling all the way from where?
Kekaha. I'm calling from Kekaha, and I just want to say aloha to everybody and to just chill out. And let's just skip Friday. I'm just kidding. No, I just want to say aloha, and everybody should just have a beautiful day. And aloha from Kekaha, Manasai, and right on. Carry on, Stephen.
Okay. Betsy, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
I'll talk to you down the line, okay?
Okie doke.
Okay, aloha.
Okay, aloha. Okay, we do have this announcement in that Kuhio Highway is now open. I can go home. To Tina, the most lovely Tina Colada. Perhaps you folks have heard of her, but Kuhio Highway in the vicinity of the Princeville Airport is now open in both directions. Mahalo from Kauai Police Dispatch Center for your patience. I'm adding that in. Some of you guys may not have been too patient, but it is open. So, and as Felicia alluded to, the ambulances were speeding down the highway. So that just shows that there's these people are still with us. I'm going to put somebody else on the air. KKCR, you're on the air.
Is there an accident today?
There was. It's over with. Okay. That's...
Hello?
Oh, wait a minute. He was... Are you still there? You still there? Hello? Okay. Now he's gone. Okay. So, anyway, folks, we appreciate you guys tuning in. So, I do have another song, and this kind of... If you notice, I'm kind of picking things from the White Album because it's I just pulled it off the shelf. But I want to hear if you guys have heard anything about this painting that a congressman of the Democrat Party has put up with showing. Well, anyway, here we go. Where is it? Maybe it's up here. You can tell I haven't done this in a while. Let's see. Okay. Here we go.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirt? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around with. In the skies with all the backing, they don't care what goes on around. In life there's something lacking, what they need's a damn good whacking.
Time. You know, there's a lot of controversy about, well, not controversy, but there's different opinions about that island. George, about that album, the White Album, the Beatles, George Martin always maintained that we could have come out with a lot better, he could have come out with a better album with just one album, not two. And but a lot of people love the White Album. There's a lot of good stuff on there. So here's the question. Since we still have 23 minutes of sure listening pleasure, and I may just kind of start playing some music here. I'm having fun doing that. But in the halls, gosh, I forget where it is in the halls of Congress, there's a Democrat congressman, House of Representatives, I forget which state, forget his name, who put up a picture, rather animated picture, showing a cop, policeman, officer of the law, as a pig. In other words, a pig wearing a policeman's uniform, shooting an unarmed black man. And it was symbolizing what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, back about three years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long. On or about that time, shooting a so-called Michael Brown, unarmed. And, of course, the kid tried to take away the gun out of the policeman's car. They shot off around inside the car. And then when the policeman challenged him, Michael Brown came running back to the policeman. And to defend himself, he shot the guy. That's what they're trained to do. And it got made out in the press. You know, President Obama's the first one to run to the podium and say, this is that basically police department acting stupidly. Eric Holder, the attorney general, getting in there. So now we have these, these Black Lives Matter. We have, of course, the policemen, to their credit, Blue Lives Matter. I actually saw a bumper sticker. My girlfriend sent it to me, texted it, showed a Trump bumper sticker, and next to it, there was a bumper sticker that said, Howley Lives Matter. God, that was a hoot. But this picture has been taken down by one representative in the Republican Party and then given it back to his office. And he says, you want to put it up in your office? Go ahead, but don't do that to our policemen. They're the first people we call. In fact, who are the first people out here today to help us? They're on the road, but the policemen. They're not pigs. But anyway, this has been a controversy. It's been going back and forth. It goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. I was just wondering if you guys had any comments on that. If you think that's proper, I understand about freedom of speech, but I think there's respect for police in general. So give me a call here at 826-7771. We have 20 more minutes left, and let's see if we can keep on playing some more music right here.
Give a really big mahalo out to Steve Yoder. And Felicia and Marshall are in the house, and we might have a caller. Okay, no, not quite. But, hey, let's just put up a little prayer there, a big, huge prayer for whoever was just in that car accident. And we all have differing viewpoints, and that's what makes things fresh. I believe we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I was just listening to you guys talking about kind of the freedom of speech issue, right?
Yes.
But, and, hey, you know, that's like one of our constitutional rights, and I think it's wrong for anybody to take signs down that, you know, I mean, if it's an inappropriate place, it's one thing, but we all have the right to say what we want. Even if you don't agree with it, there's the far right. If all of a sudden the far right's not allowed to say what they want to say, to be able to, you know, express their opinion. And it's because it's something about, like, the sign or something. I couldn't say, like cops and their everything against cops shooting people and stuff like that. I think anybody like that should take all their their cop hate, and they should make bumper stickers and put it on their car. See how many tickets they get. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, I know, you know, on the extension of the freedom of speech, I saw Standing Rock really had a very rough weekend, and, you know, a police officer had apparently run over one of the protectors with a snow machine, and apparently it could have easily been avoided. It wasn't an accident. And as I pull up my computer here, I'm going to look. There's like a bill before the legislature. I'm going to see if it's a state one. It might be a state one, but that makes it not a crime for a driver to run over somebody picketing or protesting, that then it would be legal. Now, we'd have to think that that would never pass, but sometimes it's surprising what does pass. And that's actually something that's proposed.
That's ridiculous. And I don't know. We don't know really what happened there. You're telling me something I have no information about, and I can't form a judgment about a cop running somebody over that I wasn't there to see it.
Yeah, I guess there's all kinds of rubber bullets in the back, and, you know, it was another hard day. And that's a freedom of speech.
We just get the liberal media's bite of it, you know what I mean? And we don't really get, I don't know. I wasn't there. You weren't there. So to go off and start believing what the media feeds down your throat, shoves down your throat, is really short-sighted and narrow-minded. You know, you know what I mean? Hey, and I'm not saying that every cop is good and everybody does right, but you know what? Like I said, hey, who's the first person you call when you have something going down? You know what I mean? And there needs to be a little
my
more
friends.
You know what I mean?
I would call my friends. First person I would call would be my friends or my neighbors. That would be the first person I would call. But we're all different.
Yeah, well, that's all fine and dandy, but when you need a cop, you're going to call a cop. You want a cop. When something happens that goes down, you're going to want a cop. Your friends and neighbors ain't going to do nothing, you know. So, we need to be supporting our law enforcers. We need to be backing them up, giving them raises, and making sure we get good people in there instead of bashing them every time they do something wrong. You know what? This is what you do. This is really easy to solve this whole black and white issue, right? You put black cops in black neighborhoods. You put Mexican cops in Mexican neighborhoods. So you don't have this issue about them killing all these, you know, ethnic problems and all this stuff. That's how you solve that.
Okay. So did I miss your point? I might have missed your point. So I'm hearing you're saying supporting police. There was a – because I was just coming in the studio as Steve was talking about that on freedom of speech. And so are you saying freedom of speech should not be?
No. You got me wrong.
Okay.
We should have freedom of speech. We should all be allowed to say what we want to say.
Yeah.
And that's why I like this radio station, because you can't, even if people call up and think, oh, that guy was a bozo, he still has the right to say it.
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly right. Having differences of opinion is what we're about.
And I just thought it'd be funny that all these guys who are anti-cops or whatever, they're saying they should plaster it all over their car. Yeah, we, you know, like, I don't know, but it had to do with the cops and something about the signs being taken down for something, you know, that about cops killing white, you know, black people or whatever it is. But that's how they should take care of it. You put black cops in black neighborhoods, Mexican cops in Mexican neighborhoods, and you don't have a race issue, right?
You might not have a race issue, but you could still have a violence issue, because I'm not sure that racism is all really about ethnicities. I mean, that's what the word says. It could be a lot of different things. So I'm not sure that would actually solve the problem, but it certainly might
be. They couldn't play the race card then. You know what I mean? They couldn't play the race card. And, you know, we live in a bubble over here, okay? But on the mainland, I'm sure it's pretty gnarly. There's people running around killing each other and stuff like this all the time. The kids are walking into schools with guns, killing everybody. And, you know, I mean, a cop shows up and kills a kid. Gosh, you know, it's like the whole world, this poor cop is should be a hero instead of a crook, you know. It's just crazy the way this is anymore.
Well, thank you for calling in that perspective. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air, KKCR.
Hey, Felicia, how are you doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, I was listening to that last caller and just popped on the radio and listening regarding the policeman issue and wanted to take it right back to here. And, you know, we're in an isolated area, and when a cop comes and gives you a ticket and he's wearing bulletproof vests and has his hand on his gun, I mean, what are the stats of, you know, a guy getting pulled over for a traffic ticket attacking a cop on Kauai? You know, I think if cops wore shorts and had their guns in their car and just had a, you know, a taser or something like that and came up to give you a ticket, that would be a lot more conducive than a guy, you know, in military hardware coming up to your car and calling three other cars to issue a ticket. So my comment is just that, you know, I think they overdo it on this island. I think that they'd get a lot farther with policemen just, you know, being Kauai people.
If there's a sharper caller that knows more of the facts, I invite them to call in on this. But and when I have looked at different bills that have come before or opportunities that have come before the council and different things, there's a lot of federalization of the police across the nation. And so what happens is grants are given for funding, and they come with all these strings attached. And, you know, some of these grants are measured in arrests and convictions. Some of these positions require an asset forfeiture. So, I mean, it's coming all the way from the top down. And having beat cops that ride bikes and wear shorts and just have tasers, I see that in places like Nashville. We saw that a little bit in Philadelphia. I'm sure that our own officers wouldn't mind not wearing, you know, 30 pounds of, you know, gear on top of polyester full-length clothes in the summertime.
I think it's the police commission that needs to be, you know, the pressure put on, because, you know, it's like we're not the national average. We don't want a mainland police force here. We want a community police force. And over the years, too, when you look at the stats, like, oh, we wrote 3,000 more tickets this year than last year. And they show the tickets going up. So all of a sudden we're going from a serve and protect mentality to harass and collect. And we see it every time. And then they have the audacity to do a fundraiser. And it's just like, well, geez, I'm going to have to save my $50 for the bogus ticket I get. You know, so I definitely think that, you know, going the national route instead of the Kauai route, we're an island in the middle of the ocean. We should be setting some sort of different example instead of following a military example, which, you know, if you polled the people, they would say, no, we would want the community police force.
I think that that's, you know, my sense is yes. The officers, they might want those bulletproof vests on. I can't quite speak for them. Maybe I should have the police in sometime and have a conversation.
Yeah, I would like that, because I think, you know, I think by having someone in an area like a policeman, you know, out on the street waving his hand for people to slow down is a much better community service than to, you know, to bogusly write people. I see the flow of traffic, people just participating in the flow of traffic, and then, you know, there's no safety issue there. It's a monetary collecting issue. And I just, you know, that's the way it is on the mainland, and I just would like to see something different here.
Well, thank you for calling that in, and thank you for putting it in my mind to contact the police department and see if they would like to come in and have a conversation. One way that KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, is able to help this community is by opening up conversations and looking how we could weave together the best of everything that's out there in this giant chessboard that we live on. We will be soon having a show, for example, on housing. And I was, as I was announcing earlier, Kiana Hall, I spoke to him today. We will do a show in the relatively near future as we're looking at additional rental units behind people's houses or whatever way the community can come up with to help address the housing crisis for residents. That's one. A lot of stuff is going to be coming up with water. There, you know, I can announce some of these things, but we're going to have a number of shows, and so I will put police on the list.
And you're correct, and that's why I participate in community radio, because, you know, I can talk to someone like you, and you can reach out, and we can see the other part, and, you know, that's what it's about.
Yeah, because most everybody is good people, and, you know, we're not trying to talk stink about these officers, so there's somewhere right in the middle there, you know. We need
want them to be part of the community and
that's
not
right.
alienating the community.
Right.
And, if you know, it's just like I even if I got a traffic ticket, why do they need three cops to give me a traffic ticket? You know, that's a question I have. And, you know, guns pulled, guns this. And so anyhow, thank you very much. And thank you for what you do to the community.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hi, Marshall.
Hey, Felicia.
Do I have you on?
I don't know.
Let's see.
How's that?
How about now?
Hey.
Oh, wait a minute. You're on a different one. Okay, now try.
Hey, Felicia.
All right.
All right.
So, hey, we are hoping the person was safe. We're on late. I'm coming in late, thanking again Steve Yoder for filling in. It was interesting because he has a very different perspective, and so it's, I listened to the whole thing. It's fresh for me to listen to a different perspective and see the range of callers, some that come in. I do want to say the Saturday, the 28th, at the Wailua Kapa'a Neighborhood Association meeting from 2 to 4 in the Kapa'a Library, I really look forward to again seeing Kiana's talk about what they're thinking about to be adding extra housing. I know so many people who are just desperate to not become homeless. They just live on the edge of that fear.
Right. Or in the depths of the situation of actually being homeless. So tell me more about that housing.
Well, that's going to be a long, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to have Kiana come in and we'll be talking about that, whether people can have 400 to 800 square feet either added to their house that is a separate living unit or freestanding in the backyard of houses. That would be, that's something that is being circulated to propose as a possibility. I mean, we're several steps away and the government is just saying, hey, you know, what are your thoughts? So they're not saying this is what's happening. They're saying, are we in? Are we out? Is one community want it and not another? What can we do? There's also going to be Mahi Ai workshops, that means farmer, Thursday, January 26th at the Anahola Clubhouse from 8 to 4 p.m. It's free resources for farmers, available grants, free training, paid internships, organic certification, risk management, low-interest loans, technical and business assistance, aquaculture and livestock support, sales and marketing opportunities, soil and water conservation. They would like registration to be there because the $10 breakfast, or I'm not allowed to say prices, there is a small fee for breakfast and lunch, and they have to register online at malamakawaii.org. Yeah, that's what they should do. Register online, malamakawaii.org. Or they could call Megan at 828-0685. It's also going to be at Keikaha. It's also going to be at Keikaha, 8 to 4 p.m. on Friday, January 27th. We're about to hear the county council report. I want to give a big, beautiful shout-out to John Gordon, our Jazz with John.
Yes.
We're going to have our beautiful Lynn is going to, I'm sure, give some great music for him. I mean, in lieu of him, he's having kind of, you know, not a big deal health medical treatment today. I just want to just honor our most senior person, programmer, how much love and support he gives to the community, to KKCR. He does so much. He does these county council reports. John, if somehow you're listening, we love you. We wish you all the best outcomes of your medical treatment, and that you stay thriving, not just surviving. And we want Kauai and our political world here and all our policies to be thriving and surviving. I'm going to play a little bit of a song before we go to the county council report, and then it will go up to the top of the hour with Lynn. I'm giving a shout out to Tubby Love and Amber Lily. This is a really cute song that they did calling Go But Never Leave, and you'll hear the term Tangled Roots in this song. And so many of the farmers are really good musicians, and they are singing songs and making music to be able to help support the farms, you know, whatever it takes. And this is a great song about, it's called Go But Never Leave, and it's like leaving the farm, but the, you know, you're going to be back. And these guys are putting on a great five-day pressure cooker of creativity on the Big Island, helping other musicians record their music. They're going to do that on Kauai. And all these events lately, I don't think with any sort of rule, I've never heard any rule, but it seems like all this music and singing and stuff that's going on is alcohol and drug-free, and I just kind of love it that people are just thriving on each other's company. So, Tubby Love, I've got Lynn here in case Felicia has a problem getting a song to play, because it's my biggest stress, is playing music. Tubby Love, Amber, Go But Never Leave. Aloha from Kauai Soapbox. Prayers for the people in Niaxi.
Well, I can hear the music calling, come to carry me, but I'll come back, I promise, 'cause when I go, across the land and sea, but I'll take a piece of you with me, so when I go, I never really I never really leave. So when I go, I never.